All right, Shabbos, we'll say good morning. We have an incredible, incredible daf ahead of us today. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank Justin and Abigail Rosemore for dedicating for our Talmud Torah sponsorship for this month, for dedicating all of the learning shiurim and drushes in the memory of their beloved son, Kobi Chaim Yaakov David Ben Rabbi Yosef Tzadok. We also thank our monthly sponsor, Alan and Sue Meyerowitz, for dedicating all the shiurim and family, Jason, Deborah, Justin, Rebecca, Mindy, Simcha, all the grandchildren, for dedicating the learning this month in the merit of a refuah shleima for Sue, Shulamis Tova Bas Mindel. Just that the Olam should know, Sue is having her bone marrow transplant today, so we ask everyone to please have in mind Shulamis Tova Bas Mindel as you daven today, as you learn today, recite Tehillim on her behalf, and Halavai Mir Hashem, her procedure should be successful and should put her on the road towards a total refuah. And I both say, with that, let us begin. So we are picking up today. Sorry, I'm just making sure I got everyone. Good. So we are picking up today, Emir Hashem on Daf Pichas 88. A lot to do today, an incredible, incredible Gemara. So we are picking up on Peches, and we left off on Peches as well. I believe we are picking up. I believe that we are picking up at Tashma. Right, the top of the daf, Tashma. So we'll say, so beautiful daf out of us today, still going through the process of Matan Torah. So remember again, we still have our date dispute between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon, and continuing a little bit in that conversation. So it says, we'll say, top line, Peches Amdala, Tashma, the Sanya Beseder Olam, Nisan Shebo Yatsu Yisrael Mitzrayim Ba'arba Asar Shachtu Pesachim. So we'll say the Nisan that we left Egypt on the 14th of Nisan, we shechted our Korban Pesach. Remember again, that is Erev Pesach. B'chamisha Asar Yatsu, on the morning of the 15th, we left Mitzrayim. Va'osa Hayom Erev Shabbos Hayah. Now both say this version has it a little bit different. In the previous version, they had the 15th of Nisan fall. The day that we left Mitzrayim was on a Thursday. In this version, we're leaving Mitzrayim ultimately on a Friday. V'osa yom erev Shabbos haya. V'osa four lines down from the top, Peches 88a. U'midereish yarcha the Nisan erev Shabbos. Then V'osa, if it turns, so remember again, if we're leaving, if the 15th is on an erev Shabbos, that means Rosh Chodesh Nisan was also on Erev Shabbos. Now, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was 2 weeks before an Erev Shabbos, Reish Yarcha the Ir Bechad B'Shava, then ultimately Rosh Chodesh Ir will be on a Sunday. The Sivan B'Trei B'Shava and Rosh Chodesh Sivan will be on a Monday. Kasha the Rabbi Yossi. I say this poses a Kasha to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. So also Rabbi Yossi says, remember, it's not really a problem, because even Rabbi Yossi acknowledges that there is someone who disputes him, and ultimately, again, this reflects the view of the Rabbanon who hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. Tashma, the Rabbi Yossi Omer B'Sheni Allah Moshe the Yarad. So we'll say, now we're fast forwarding a little bit. So now we're speaking about the actual timeline of events leading up to Matan Torah. Rabbi Yossi says, B'sheni on the second. I will say, we're going to see in Rabbi Yossi's model, Sheni means two things. It means the second of Sivan and Monday. Because remember again, in Rabbi Yossi's model, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the first of Sivan, is on Sunday. So therefore again, B'sheni ala Moshe, on the second day of Sivan, which also happened to be Monday, Moshe Rabbeinu ala Moshe Rabbeinu went up and down the mountain. I will say, remember again, this is a part of the story that we don't always necessarily pay attention to, which is the notion that Moshe Rabbeinu went up and down the mountain a number of times prior to Matan Torah in order to receive a variety of instructions from the Ribono Shel Olam. So we'll say, here is the timeline according to Rabbi Yossi. So remember again, step one, which is not mentioned here, but we already know before, in Rabbi Yossi's model, Klal Yisrael arrives in Midbar Sinai on Sunday, Rosh Chodesh. So Sunday is first day of the week, and Aleph Sivan. Comes Monday, B'sheni ala Moshe v'yarad, on Monday, which was the second day of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the mountain and comes down. B'shlishi ala v'yarad, on Tuesday, he went up the, which was also the third of Sivan, he goes up and he comes down. B'dalar yarad v'shuv lo ala. Of course, on Wednesday, Moshe Rabbeinu came down, but he didn't go up. So the Gemara says, he didn't go back up. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. U'me'achar shalo ala mehechan yarad. So we'll say the wording here is strange, because it says on Wednesday he came down and he didn't go back up. So I don't understand. If he didn't go up, then how did he come down? Ela berevi'i ala biyar. Rather, we have to read it like this. Wednesday, which was also the fourth of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, he came back down. Bechamishi bana mizbeach, on Thursday, Moshe Rabbeinu constructed the altars around Har Sinai, v'hikrev alav karban. And ultimately what? He went ahead and offered up karbanos on that Thursday. B'shishi lo haya lo p'nai. On Friday, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have time to go up on the mountain. My love, Mishum Torah. Now, what does that mean? Ultimately, again, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have time. Isn't it because that on Friday, the 6th of Sivan, that's when Klal Yisrael received the Torah. Look at Rashi. My love, Mishum Torah. Lo hayo lepnai la'alo shekiblu kula yachad es hadibros. Is it not because that Friday, the 6th of Sivan, was Kabbalah's HaTorah? To which the Gemara says, lo, Mishum Torah Shabbos. So both said, this is great. Know why? Moshe Rabbeinu had to prepare for Shabbos. Incredible. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu go up the mountain on Friday? Because again, you have to get ready for Shabbos. And we'll say, what an incredible, incredible idea. So first of all, what's interesting about this is, I don't understand. Already again by Sivan, the days are longer, it's late Shabbos. So why can't you go ahead and get ready in the afternoon? So we'll say, what do you see from here? See from here a very important lesson. Don't delay your Shabbos preparations till later in the day. Don't be one of those people who runs flying into Shabbos. Part of the beauty and the holiness of Shabbos, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this, he says, is not only to be a Shomer Shabbos, but to be a Shomer Erev Shabbos. There's a concept of being a Shomer. So a lot of people are Shomer Shabbos, but they're not Shomer Erev Shabbos. Right? So what's Erev Shabbos? Erev Shabbos is essentially from daybreak until like 5, it's a regular day. Then 5 o'clock, there seems to be this epiphany that, oh my gosh, Shabbos is coming. And suddenly, again, within 2 hours, a person has to get an entire day of activity. Be a Shomer Erev Shabbos also. That ultimately, again, prepare for Shabbos in the right way. Prepare for Shabbos early. And hopefully go into Shabbos with a degree of serenity. You'll say no one does that. Not true. Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go up on the mountain on Friday in order to be a Shomer Erev Shabbos. Darash Hogalila, Alei Drev Chista. So we'll say a beautiful Gemara. Really, we have really beautiful Gemaras today. The Gemara says as follows. So the following Galilean, the Galilah, darshened Alei Drev Chista. Baruch Rachmanet Diyahiv Orien Talisoi, La'am Talisoi. Blessed is the God who went ahead and gave. Literally, Orion Talisoi means a three-part Torah. A three-part Torah. Now, what does three-part Torah refer to? Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Right? Torah is comprised of three parts. He gave a three-part Torah, La'am Talisoi, to a three-part nation. What's the three-part nation? Rashi says, Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. Al Yidei Talisoi. And he gave it through a person who is the third. We'll say, who is that? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the third child in his family. Aaron, Miriam, and then Moshe. Biyom Telisoi, on the third day. Rashi says, now, Biyom Telisoi means Leprisha, that Klal Yisrael had separated for 3 days. Prior to Sinaitic revelation, prior to Kabbalah Satorah, so on the third day, Biyarcha Talisoi, on the third month, because remember again, if we count the months from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Kemar, Sobose, what do you see from here? Now, the reason why the Gemara is pointing this out is because it says that the Torah was given after 3 days of preparation. Sobose, whose opinion does that reflect? Kiman, Kirabanan. ultimately, again, that reflects the view of the Rabbanim, that indeed there were 3 days and not 2 days of separation prior to Kabbalah Satorah. Incredible. So we'll say, now we come to perhaps one of the most incredible Gemaras. Vayisyatsu v'takhti sahar. So the Pasuk says, and we'll say, now, the way we translate this normally is, they camped at the base of the mountain. This, of course, is a reference to Klal Yisrael camping at the base of Har Sinai. But yet, I will say, if you read it literally, the pasuk is Vayisyatsu v'takhti sahar means they camped underneath the mountain. So the Gemara says, what does it mean they camped underneath the mountain? Here we go. Amar Abdimi Bar Chama Bar Chis Bar Chasam Lamed Shakafa Hakadosh Baruch Hu Es Aharadim Kigigis. This teaches us that Hakadosh Baruch Hu suspended the mountain over us like a barrel, and he said, if you accept Torah, good. All is good, right? We're good if you accept Torah. Vimlav, but if you don't accept Torah, Sham Tehe Kavuraschem. At the end of the day, ultimately, again, you will be buried here. You will be buried here. So in other words, we'll say that there is an element of compulsion associated with Kabbalah Satorah. And Abbas Sinat Tosas already points out, Kafalim Harki Yigis Va'afa Pishekvar Hikdimu Na'asel Nishma. Right? So we'll say, ultimately, again, even though we already said Na'asel Nishma, which was the greatest statement of faith and allegiance, we said Na'asel Nishma, and yet, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it necessary to engage in this element of compulsion. So now Tosas says, Shema yuchozun kishura isha gedol shiatzim nishma. So remember again, Tosas says, because maybe we would get scared off by other things that we saw at Matan Torah, the Maharal ultimately says much simpler, Na'aseh v'nishma is beautiful, but Na'aseh v'nishma is voluntary. So Rabbi said, Kodesh Baruch Hu understood that a meaningful Yiddishkeit is where I feel an element of compulsion. See, the problem with Na'aseh v'nishma is, Na'aseh v'nishma means I feel it, I'm inspired. That's great. So to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you feel it and you're inspired, is fantastic. And what about the mornings you wake up, you get out of bed and you don't feel inspired? And you're not exactly feeling like your Na'aseh v'nishma self, and you're tired, and you're a little bit uninterested. So what about then? So also there has to be an element of compulsion. There has to be an element that this is something I have to do, even if I'm not feeling it. That's the kafalim harkigigis, that compulsion which creates a sense of commitment, which drives my relationship with Hashem, even if I'm not feeling it. Or even if for whatever reason, unfortunately, I'm not inspired, I am duty-bound to continue in my service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Abba Yaakov, Mikan Modah Rabba La'oraisa. The Rabbi was saying that the fact that Kabbalah Satorah, to a certain degree, was under duress, ultimately provides us with an incredible defense. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and summons us to judgment and says, why didn't you keep my Torah? So we could always say that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you forced us. You forced us. There was an element of compulsion. So Rava says, interestingly enough, even though there was an element of duress by acceptance of the Torah by Har Sinai, we subsequently came around by the Purim story and once again accepted the Torah in its entirety with will, right? Willingfully. So the Gemara says, where do we see that? The Chsev Kimo Vekiblu HaYehudim. The Megillah says the Jews went ahead and Kimo Vekiblu, Kimo Vekiblu means they upheld and accepted. Kaimu Mashekvar Kiblu. So ultimately, again, more Mashekiblu Kvar. In the Purim story, Rabbi said there was, interestingly enough, another acceptance of Torah. Obviously, there's a lot more to talk about with all of these things, but time doesn't permit it. Rabbi said this incredible yisod that the Purim story represents another Kabbalah HaTorah. That it was during Purim that ultimately, again, we re-accepted the Torah. The first time there was an element of duress, there was an element of compulsion. But by Purim, there was a totally willful acceptance of Kala Torah Kula. Amr Chizkiyah, Mai Dichsev, a beautiful Gemara, Mai Dichsev, Mishamayim Hishmata Din, Eretz Yira Vishaketa. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says, literally here, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk in Tehillim, Mishamayim Hishmata Din, from the heavens, you have caused the law to be heard. Eretz Yira Vishaketa. The earth was afraid, but then tranquil. So the Gemara says, the problem is the pasuk doesn't make sense. Im yireya lama shaketa, vim shaketa lama yireya. If the earth is fearful, why is it tranquil? But if it's tranquil, why is it fearful? So what's it rather? The earth was originally fearful, but then it became tranquil. V'lama yireya. So we'll say, why was the earth fearful? Kidrei Shlakish. To Amarei Shlakish, Mai dichsiv, Vayere vayvoker yom hashishi, Hei yisir lamali. The Bible says, why does the Pasuk have to say, Vibracious, Vayere vayvoker yom hashishi? It was morning, it was evening, it was the sixth day. Could have just said yom shishi. Why yom hashishi? To which the Bible says, incredible, lamali lameymar, milamid, shisna kodesh baruch hu maise bereishis. To teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with all of creation. V'amar lahem im Yisrael mekablim ha-Torah atem mekaymim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to creation, here's the deal. If Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, the nature, the world, will endure. V'im lav. But if Klal Yisrael does not accept the Torah, then ani machzir eschem letohu vavohu. I will return you back to empty nothingness. So we'll say such an incredible drasha. Vayere vayivoker yom hashishi, which is the end of creation. The hay, the extra hay, represents chamisha chumshei Torah. Represents Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that Klal Yisrael could accept Torah, live Torah, teach Torah, and be the physical embodiment of Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to creation, here's the deal, I'm creating you all now, but it's a conditional creation, and it's a condition that's based on Klal Yisrael acceptance of Torah. If Klal Yisrael accepts Torah, then creation will endure. But if Klal Yisrael Chas Hashem does not accept Torah, then that signals the end of creation. Dramatically amazing. So we'll say, which tells you that the entire purpose, not just of our lives, but the entire purpose of creation was for Torah. That what we do every single day, every single morning together, and hopefully again we do even throughout our day at different times, the learning of Torah, the living of Torah, is the very purpose for which the Ribono Shel Olam created this world and created us. Darash Rab Simoy. When Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishma, Bo'u shishim ribosha malachi asharis l'chol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael, kashilo shnei ksarim, echad k'negi Nasa, ve'echad k'negi Nishma. So let's listen to how beautiful this is. When Klal Yisrael came along and said Nasa v'Nishma, so what happened? 600,000 malachim came along. One malach for every single Jew, right? So also whenever you see this number 600,000, 600,000 always represents Klal Yisrael. So right, one malach per Jew. And each malach, kashulo shnei ksarim, each malach tied two spiritual crowns onto each Jew. One crown for Nasa, one crown for Nishma. Both sides, those crowns, the Maral points out, representing extra added dimensions of spirituality. When we said Na'aseh v'Nishma and engaged in such a beautiful, willful commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam blessed us with an added dimension of spirituality. The Malachim come down and tie the crowns of spirituality to us. The Gemara says, V'chivan shechatu Yisrael, but unfortunately when we built the eagle and built the golden calf, Yardu mea ve'esim ribo. So this is incredible. 1,200,000 malachim came down. Right? Ribo malachi chavala. Destructive angels came down. Upirkum. And took away the crowns. Shene emar. Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyom mehar chorev. Klal Yisrael lost their glory. Their glory was removed from Klal Yisrael and Har Sinai. So we'll say, isn't this incredible that 600,000 malachim come to put on? So each malach could put on two crowns. But to remove the crowns, there has to be one malach per crown. To remove the crowns is almost 1.5 million malachim, 1.2 million malachim. So we'll say, to tell you something amazing, to add ruchnias to the Jew, that's the natural order of the world. That you don't need as many malachim. To remove bracha, to remove ruchnias from the Jew, that you need a lot more manpower. Quite amazing. So the Gemara, and Chorev and Har Sinai, we were literally loaded with Kedusha, and unfortunately by Har Sinai, our Kedusha was removed as well. Bechorev Tanu Kidamron, on Chorev we were laden with Kedusha. That's a reference to the tying of the crowns of Na'aseh v'Nishma. Bechorev Pirku Dichsev Vayisnatzlu B'nei Yisrael. And Chorev, unfortunately, the Kedusha was removed, as the Pasuk says, Klal Yisrael was despoiled. Amar Rav Yochanan, V'kulan zacha Moshe v'natlan. So we'll say, what happened to all of the crowns? All of the crowns that were removed from Klal Yisrael, after we built the eagle, after we built the golden calf, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Samech Le, U'Moshe Yikach Es Ha'ohel. As Rav said, what happens ultimately again, right after the crowns are removed from Klal Yisrael? So the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and Moshe and Yikach Es Ha'ohel. He took the Ohel ultimately again outside of the camp. So we'll say, the Gemara is understanding over here that Ohel, ultimately again is a reference to either the Kedusha or, remember, why does Moshe Rabbeinu remove the Ohel? Ki Karan Arpanav. Because his face had become filled with spiritual radiance, spiritual luminescence. So where did that luminescence come from? So the Gemara understands that ultimately, again, that's from the crowns. The crowns were taken from Klal Yisrael and given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Reish Lakish, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Lanu. Reish Lakish says, don't despair, because ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give us back those crowns. He's going to give them back to us. Shene emar, ufeduye Hashem yeshuvun uba'otzion v'rina, v'simchas olam arosham, simus, the Gemara says, what do you see from here? So literally, again, it means those redeemed by God will come back. They will come to Tzion, v'rina, with rejoicing, v'simchas olam, everlasting joy will be on their head. So the Gemara says, simcha sheme olam arosham. What it means is, the simcha that was previously on their head, a reference to the crowns of Na'aseh v'Nishma, will be returned to the heads of the Jew when Mashiach comes. So we'll say, isn't this beautiful? Something else to look forward to in the Messianic era. That when Mashiach comes, not only will we have a Beis HaMikdash, Ge'ula, but the Kedusha, the beautiful crowns of holiness that we had at Har Sinai, and we subsequently lost because of Chet HaEgel, will ultimately be returned to us. Quite amazing. Amar Rabbi Elazar, B'sha Shektimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma, when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, and I've also remember again, the godless of that statement, if it would have said Nishma V'Nasa, that also would have been nice, but nothing so dramatic. God will hear you out, and then ultimately, again, do what you ask. That's beautiful. But remember, we said Nasa V'Nishma. We will do and we will listen. A statement of complete faith, of blind obedience. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Pishah Sheikh Timi Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma. When Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, when they first said Nasa and then Nishma, Yotze Sabaskal V'Amran Lahen, Mi Gila Libanai Raz Zesh Shamalach Yesharis Mishtam Shinbo. Who told my children the secret recitation that the Malachim say to me up above, here in the celestial sphere, the Chsiv, Baruch Hashem Malachav Gibore Koach, Osei Devaro, Lishmoa Bekol Devaro, Bereisha Osei Devaro, Vahadra Lishmoa. Both say, so interestingly enough, Nasa and Ishma, that's what the Malachim do. Right? Because the Pasuk said that the Malachim do and then they hear. So when Klal Yisrael said Nasa and Ishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol was astounded that here mere mortals, right, human beings, are speaking the same way that Malachim speak. Malachim put Na'aseh before Nishma, and we put Na'aseh before Nishma. Quite amazing. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, both say beautiful Gemara. Ma da Omer, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Kitapuach ba'atzei ayar? So I both say, here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Kitapuach ba'atzei ayar, that ultimately again, Klal Yisrael, we are like the apple in the orchard, or on the trees of the orchard. Lamanim Shul Yisrael Tapuach. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to an apple? So beautiful. Lomar Lecha, Ma Tapuach Zeh Perio Kodem La'olav, Af Yisrael Hekdimu Na'asel Nishra. So we'll say, so apparently the apple is a unique fruit, because the apple, under normal circumstances, by fruits, so the leaves form before the fruit. By an apple, the fruit is formed before the leaves. So we'll say, the apple seems to be a little bit of a departure from the norm. You would normally expect the leaves first and then the fruit, but the apple is the fruit first and then the leaves. So the Gemara says, Klal Yisrael is like the apple. Just like normally, again, you would first have Nishma and then Na'aseh, but Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh and then Nishma, ultimately teaching us that Klal Yisrael is like the apple. Quite beautiful. Hahu Tzeduki, Dechazi L'Rava Dekama'ayim B'Shmaiter. Let's listen to this story. There was a Tzeduki. So remember again, the Tzeduki were Jews who did not believe in Darash Baal Peh. They did not believe in the oral law. So there was a particular tzaduki who saw Rava who was learning, and Rava was very engrossed and involved in his learning. The yosva atzba asa dide tu se kara the kamayitz buhu the kamivon etzba asa dama. So we'll say, so apparently Rava was sitting on his hand, and his fingers were bent in a way that they got cut and they were bleeding. But Rava was oblivious to what was happening with his fingers because he was so engrossed in his learning. So the tzaduki Rabose sees this, and the tzaduki thinks that Rava's a fool. Amrale, Ama Paziza, you are such an impetuous nation. Dikadmisu pumaychu ludnaychu, you always put your mouth before your ears. So I say, here the tzaduki was saying, you guys are so foolish, so impetuous, like the Pachas Kamayim by Ruvain. You're so impetuous. You did this once before. You put Na'aseh before Nishma. Who puts Na'aseh before Nishma? No one does that. First you have to hear. First you have to understand. First you have to know what's being asked of you. Then you could commit to it. But you guys, you're so impetuous. You're so impatient. And you put the Na'aseh before the Nishma. And then what happened? Akati bepachsu zaychu kamaisu bereshe bayluchu lemishma o matzisu kabliso ve'ilo ve'ilo lo kabliso. So again, so I will say, so the tzaduki is saying, Rava, now look at you. You're sitting, you're learning, your hands are underneath you, your fingers are bleeding. What's the matter with you? Pay attention. Pay attention. Kabliso, you need to be attentive. Don't accept anything. Again, this is a good piece of Jewish advice. Always read the fine print. Always read the fine print, right? Or at least hire someone to read the fine print, right? And I will say, go ahead and, right, you have to know what you're committing to before you commit to it. So look at you guys. You know, you say Nasa before Nishma, you're sitting on your fingers, you're so oblivious to everything, you're bleeding. Come on, get it together. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, to which Rava responded, Anan Amadeis, Anan Disaginan Bishli Musa. Rashi says this Sagina Bishle Musa Tap Rashi Peches on days 88b His Halachnu Imo Bitum Leif Kederacha Osa Me Ava Visamachnu Alav Shaloyit Anenu Bedavar Shalonu Chalamo Bo. Rabbi says this is so beautiful. Rava says to the Tzaduki, you don't understand. This is not called impetuousness. This is called love. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says Rashi, we walk with Him with complete belief. And we believe that God would never impose something upon us that we can't handle. I will say, isn't this a beautiful insight? Do you know what Na'aseh V'Nishma is? Na'aseh V'Nishma is a complete love and a feeling that, Ribon Shel Olam, if you're asking me to do something, you know me better than I know myself. And if you're asking me to do something, that means I can do it. I can do it. Because my God never asks me to do something that I can't handle. So therefore, again, I don't have to read the fine print. I don't even have to know what it is that you're asking. I'll learn on the job. But if you're asking it of me, then I have the absolute ability to go ahead and do it. Incredible, incredible idea. The Gemara says, Ksiv kein, Thomas v'shan tanchein, hanach inshi, so the Gemara says, Ksiv, because he quotes over here, Thomas yisharim tanchein. The Rebbe says, so literally translated, it is ultimately, again, Tumas Yisharim Tanchein means literally the belief of the earth, the simplicity of those who are Yashar will ultimately lead them. Hanoch Inshi Desagin Balilusa Ksibu Veseleth Bogdim Yishtim. So we'll say, but you, again, he was talking back to the Tzedukim, you who lack belief, ultimately, again, your wickedness will destroy you. Okay, an incredible Gemara. So we'll say that notion of Na'aseh V'Nishma, which is really that I don't have to read the fine print because if you ask me to do it, then I know I'm capable of doing it. Quite amazing. So we'll say here, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Shir HaShirim. So literally again, Libavtani means you've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart, Achosi Kala. So I will say literally, Achosi means my sister. Kala means my bride. So remember again, Shir HaShirim in general is written in this incredible, beautiful, like metaphorical love song. Now, of course, the challenging part about Shir HaShirim in general is it's not always clear who's the man and who's the woman in Shir HaShirim. Right? Sometimes the man is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is the woman. Sometimes the woman is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael is the man. So again, that's why Shir HaShirim gets a little bit confusing at times. But again, the Lashon over here is quite beautiful and dramatic. So literally again, you've captured my heart with one eye. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Betchila ba'achas be'enayich. So the Gemara says, l'chishetasi b'shte'enayich. So we'll say quite amazing enough. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us in the beginning, when you said Nasa V'nish, when you accepted Torah, so it's kind of like Klal Yisrael winked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one eye. All I saw was one eye. You accepted, but you didn't do anything yet. But with your acceptance, you captured my heart. But then, when you actually performed Torah, and I saw that not only did you accept, but you lived up to the expectations, and ultimately, again, you performed Torah, you captured me with both of your eyes. Quite beautiful. The Gemara says, Amar Ula. Ula says as follows, Aluva kala mezana besof chupasa. So a little, again, disgusting is the bride who commits adultery underneath her chuppah. So we'll say, so you have to understand, this is how Chazal refer to the Chayta Egel. This is how they refer to the sin of the golden calf. They compare the golden calf ultimately again to a bride who committed adultery underneath the chuppah. So we'll say, obviously adultery's nus is always terrible, but the notion of the bride committing adultery underneath the bridal canopy just represents a fundamental marital trespass. So the Gemara says here, you were standing at Har Sinai, you saw me, you heard from Yaakov, Baruch Hu says, and yet you built the Egel right then and there. So that's comparable to a kal who committed adultery underneath the chuppah. Amrav Mori Brei Debashmuel, Maikra, Ad Shamelech Memesibo Nidri. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the pasuk? That says again, quoting from Shir HaShirim, Ad Shamelech Memesibo, while the king is still in his party, Amrav Va'adayin Chavivusi Hi Gabon. So we'll say, at the end of the day, although we committed this terrible trespass against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Lashon is, Ad Shamelech Memesibo, while the king is still at his party, Nidri Nasan Recho. Literally, again, my scent or my perfume still gives forward its scent. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Amurav Vaidain Chavibusi Higabon. Even though we built the Egel, right, and we committed this terrible trespass against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still very much present. Tichsiv Nasan Velokasav Hisriach. What it says is, my scent has gone forth, but it doesn't say my scent has turned putrid. So as I say, the idea over here is that the Chayta Egel compromised the scent, right? It compromised the scent of Klal Yisrael. But what it didn't do was to cause us to putrefy, which is really incredible. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana will say, beautiful, another beautiful Gemara, another thing with Har Sinai, beautiful. Ha-ne'elovin ve'inan ulvin. So we'll say, those who are disparaged, but do not disparage in return. So we'll say, remember again, generally, the most natural reaction, the reflexive reaction is, if someone disparages me, humiliates me, the reflexive reaction is, give it back. But yet those who resist that temptation, ha-ne'elovin ve'inan ulvin, those who are disparaged, but do not disparage in return, shomin cherpasan ve'inon mashivin, they hear their degradation, yet they find the koach not to respond. I hold my tongue, don't respond. Osin ne'avos mechem yisurin, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love, and they rejoice in the trials and tribulations of life, which means they will say that even when life is difficult, they recognize that it is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alena Kasul Omer, about such people, the pasuk says, "Va'oavav, those who love Hashem, kitzeis Hashemesh bigvuros, are like the sun when it comes out in its full glory and its full strength." We'll say a very profound Gemara, a recognition that sometimes we're put in bad situations where people mistreat us, and although the natural reflexive reaction is to go ahead and give it back, those who withhold, those who restrain themselves and just let it go, are being like divine. So we'll say, remember again, the connection over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is often insulted, right? He's insulted by our averus, he's insulted by our relationship trespasses, yet again, more often than not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just kviyachol holds his tongue. He just doesn't say anything, he just doesn't respond. So to summon up that same courage, and not respond even when I'm hurt, even when I'm humiliated, even when I'm downtrodden, that's being divine. We'll say, you know, on a deeper, like, hashkafic level, there's also the recognition, and on a emunah level, that everything that happens to me is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even when I'm insulted, and even when I'm put down, and even when I'm humiliated, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So a person who's able to, it doesn't free the individual of personal responsibility. But l'maisa, again, what it tells me is at the end, it's also from Hashem, kach Hashem rotza, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And therefore, again, the ability to kind of just smile and move on is in and of itself divine. Amnod Yochanan, may dichsiv Hashem yitin omram abasros salorav. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the pasuk here? Hashem yitein. Omer hamavastros. Literally, again, Hashem gives. Hashem gives. Omer hamavastros. The one who goes ahead and foretells the future or delivers news. Tzvarav. Kol dibar v'dibar shetzim v'yik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nechlok l'shivim l'shon. So we'll say to teach us, every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was automatically translated into 70 languages. We'll say quite dramatic. Right? Every word that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, kiviyachol, was translated into 70 languages. So we'll say, Tanya Dveri Bishmal, Ukepatish Yifutzat Sela. This is the meaning of the pasuk, literally again, like a hammer smashes the rock. Ma Patish Zen Nechlach Lakamani Tzotzos. Just like when the hammer smashes the rock smashed into a number of different pieces. So every word that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, literally again, was automatically translated into 70 languages. Ah, you'll say, but Klal Yisrael, what do they need 70 languages for? They didn't speak 70 languages. What did they speak? They spoke maybe Lashon HaKodesh and Yiddish. I'm saying, of course, people spoke Yiddish by Har Sinai also. I'll say, so you don't need more than two languages, right? So what else do you need? I'll say, so again, Rav Levi Yitzchak Rabbeinu comments on this, and he says, he's teaching something amazing. This happens a couple of times, where Torah is ultimately translated into 70 languages. The idea being that Torah can be accessed wherever you are. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what land you live in. Torah is accessible in 70 languages. This is the beauty of Ruchnius. Our Ruchnius, as beautiful as Eretz Yisrael is, we pine to be there. Our Ruchnius is not tethered to Eretz Yisrael. Our Ruchnius is not tethered to being in a major Jewish community. Wherever the Jew is, that's where your Ruchnius could be as well. And therefore, at the end of the day, that's the 70 languages idea. Amar of Chanan Barapapa, Maida Amar Shimu Kinigidim Adaber. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the pasuk? The Gemara quotes over here from Mishle, right? Listen, Kinigidim Adaber. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, this is so beautiful. Lama Nimshalu Divrei Torah Kinagid. So we'll say, why is Torah compared to a prince? Right, the Nugget is a prince. It's just like a prince has the power to go ahead and give life, to sustain life or to take it away. He has the power of life and death over his subjects. So we'll say words of Torah also have the ability to give life or chas v'shalom death. This is what Rava meant when he said, to those who hold Torah in their right hand. Ultimately, Torah is the elixir for life. For those who hold Torah in their left hand, is the elixir of death. The Rebbe said, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. So we'll say, those who hold Torah in their right hand, what that is a reference to, right represents strength. So those who engage in Torah in all of their strength, and they work hard to understand the deeper meaning of Torah. Ultimately, Torah is an elixir of life. I will say those who hold Torah in their left hand, which can mean a variety of things, either those who learn but don't listen, or those who learn for all the wrong reasons, self-aggrandizement, covet, ego. So ultimately, again, then Torah could become their very undoing. Davar Acher, I will say, first wide line, Pei Chesem, and days, Davar Acher, Negidim, Kol Dibar V'Dibar Shetzim, Pei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Koshlom Shneiksan. We'll say this goes back to the idea that when we learned Torah, we became princely. Going back to the idea that when we said Naseh V'Nishmar, every word of Torah that we learned, Kadosh Baruch Hu tied two crowns upon us just like a prince. Quite beautiful. I'm going to be a Yeshua ben Levi. My Dhamma, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Tsrar hamar dodi li bein shadayolin. So we'll say, what's the meaning? Literally, tsrar hamar means a bundle of myrrh. A bundle of myrrh, my beloved is. So Amra Knesset Yisrael, Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, Afalpi shemitzar umeimarli dodi ben shaddai yolin. So we'll say it's actually quite beautiful. So Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at Rashi. Afalpi shemitzar umeimarli. The Gemara says, "Be'egel she'amar horet adyacha." So we'll say, listen to how beautiful this is. That Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we really messed up ultimately again by the egel, at the end of the day, I am still like the myrtle, the beautiful bundle of myrrh. In other words, I still emit a good scent despite all of my mistakes. So the Gemara says, so even though ultimately again I did bad things, nevertheless, Bein Shaddai Yolin. Rashi says, Bein Shaddai Yolin. Amar miyad lasos lo mishkan lios mitzumtzeme shchinasa bein shnei abalim. So we'll say, literally again, Bein Shaddai Yolin means, and in the Shir HaShirim it means, like a bundle of myrrh that rests on the chest. So Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we messed up with the eagle, nevertheless, you kept us like a bundle of myrrh by the chest, which is a reference to what? Building the Mishkan, Rashi says. See, even though we messed up so terribly with the Egel, at the end of the day, you still kept us close to you by allowing us ultimately to build the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, Eshkal HaKofer. So literally, again, I will say, Eshkal HaKofer literally means a bundle or a cluster of henna. Kofar is henna. So the Gemara says, Eshkala kofar dodili. So the Gemara go here, still quoting the pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Eshkala kofar dodili bekarme ein gedi. So what does this mean? Mishak, so the Gemara says, Mishak kol shalo mechaper li al avon gedi shekaramti li. So we'll say literally again, what does it mean? Eshkal is a contraction. Mishak kol shalo. He to whom everything belongs. He to whom everything belongs. Atoned for me on the sin of the Gedi, the sin of the kid, which ultimately again is a reference to Chet HaEgel. My Mashwa Dahai Karmi, Lashon Demachna. She was saying, how do I know that Karmi ultimately again is a Lashon of bringing close? The Gemara says, Amar Zutra, Pered Rav Nachman, Kiddis Nan, Kise Shalkoves, Shekarmim Alavas Akelim. Because this is like the launderer's chair, it's like the launderer's board that they pile clothing on. So we'll say, this is very beautiful. So the Pasukim here and Shir HaShirim are kind of giving words to this incredible dynamic that despite the fact that we messed up so badly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that we did something so terrible to the Ribono Shel Olam, nevertheless, he kept us close, right? He allowed us to build the Mishkan. We're like the bundle of myrrh that sits on his chest, right? We're like the bundle of henna. He was mechaper us. See, even though, again, we committed this terrible relationship trespass, and one would have thought that as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would forever chase us away from his presence, ultimately, again, he brought us back and allowed us to build the Mishkan. I will say, also an incredible paradigm. You know, every relationship has times where those who we love fail us. And a lot of times we're tempted when those who we love fail us just to push them away. We have to learn from our Creator that at the end of the day, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us second chances, third chances, fourth chances, 100th chances, so we have to do the same with our loved ones as well. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Ma'ay Dechsev, L'chayiv Karuga Sabosem. We'll say, what does it mean ultimately, again, when it says his cheeks are like arugos? Arugos are like little like rows or bundles of fragrant spices. We'll say, teaches us that every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right? Every word of Aseres HaDibros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the world was filled with fragrant aroma. The chayvin shemidibar rishon esmali dibar sheni lehecher halach. But one second. After the first word that the world was filled with fragrant aroma, so what good does the second word do? And as well say, once the world was filled with fragrant aroma from the first word, so why the need for the second and third and so on and so forth? But this is very beautiful. Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Aruach Menatrosav Vayamavi Rishon Rishon Shneem Arus Esosav Shoshanim Notvos Mar Over Al Tikri Shoshanim Elo Sheshonim. So we'll say this is very beautiful. So we'll say what happened. Every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so every word filled the world with a beautiful fragrant aroma. But then what happens? After the word was said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the wind to blow to remove the fragrance so that the next word could create the next fragrance. A very beautiful idea. So everyone created a fragrance, the wind blew, removed the fragrance so that the next word could go ahead and provide a brand new fragrance. And again, quotes that pasuk that says, Sifsosav Shoshana Tvosmor, which moreover, which literally means his lips, right, are like dripping with roses, like fragrance that passes. Atikri Shoshanim, don't read it as roses, rather Ela Shoshonim, rather that ultimately, again, the process itself repeats. All right, well, so we'll stop over here for today. Again, we're going to pick up with this, still tomorrow, beautiful Gemara as well, more beautiful Gemara tomorrow. We'll pick up Emir Tashem at these two dots with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Well, so Yeshua Koach to everyone. We'll stop here. Just a reminder for those who are staying on, for those who are still who would like to utilize the Zoom minion, what we're going to do is we're going to end this Zoom room now, and we'll just ask you to log back on. So I'll log back on once I get to the shul, and again, figure it'll be on by, let's say, 6. Well, you can log on anytime. We're going to end this and then log on for a new one. I apologize for the interruption yesterday. Wishing everyone a fantastic day. Shkach avosai.